Now, I'm going to give you this next verse, and I want you, this is the best memory verse in the world, and everyone should have this memory verse, okay? Because here's the next statement he makes. God has gotten our attention. Now he asks a very penetrating question. You ready? You ready? Come on, I want to hear a drum roll. Are you ready? What he says. Next verse, Isaiah 40:27. Come on, nobody going to applaud or anything? What? This is what God said. He goes, why do you complain? Now, if you look at it, that's the NIV translation. But if you look it up in your Bible, it says, why do you complain? Israel. God's called out people. We're God's out people. You can put your name in it. Okay, why do you complain? Wallace. Put your name in it. Why do you complain? Now, look in context. Isn't that a good memory verse? In fact, I bet all of you have it memorized right now and will never forget it. Why do you complain? You know, Job's going, oh. You know, Job, you find his whole attitude changed. Why did his attitude change? Because God spoke to him. Nothing changed. He said, okay. So when we present our problem and God speaks to us, the problem's not going to change. He said, why do you complain? And it's like, I have to align my problem with God, and then all of a sudden, my problem is way not big as God. It has a different view, and all of a sudden, you say, something else is going on here. Something else is going on here. Abraham, take your son and sacrifice him to me. He raised his knife. He goes, now I know you trust in me. Ooh. Again, God will not ask you to do that. You may want to strangle your children for different reasons, but he will not ask you to do that. All right, now, I thought that was funny. Nobody laughed at that. Anyway, so here we have this picture, and it's like, you know, it's fascinating to see what the Lord, how he's presenting this. And it's interesting that he puts that sentence in inspired scripture at this point. We want to walk with the Lord. We want to see him work. And he's asked, here's an issue. Why do you complain? Thank you. Because what God has done, he's inserted himself into the problem and into the situation. That's the reason he says it. It's not like, you just cry, complain all the time. Gripe, 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 gripe. Stop it. You're driving me crazy. Why do you complain? He's not doing that. He's saying, you see me in the situation now, sifted through my hands, and I'm doing a mighty work. Why are you complaining? See, you have a vision of me. Why are you complaining? That's the reason he's saying it. So it's our vision of God that keeps us from complaining. Amen? So we see his hand in that. See his hand in that. Now, with this proper perspective, okay, we got the proper perspective. What's the proper perspective? It's like, call out the stars one by one. He named them. It's like, that's who he is, the mighty God. And it says, why do you complain? And now he makes a statement here, and he directly challenges our belief. God directly challenges our belief. And he basically says this, listen closely to me on what I'm about to say. Listen closely. So let's listen closely. Isaiah 40:28. Now here's how he starts off. He just told us, you know, why do you complain? Verse 27, then verse 28 says, verse 27 says, why do you complain? Then verse 28 says, do you not know? See, the reason we complain is that there's something we don't know. The reason we don't soar on eagle's wings, because there's something we don't know. See, do you not know? Have you not heard? Have you not read your Bible? Have you never been to church? Have you never had a Bible study? Have you never called out to me? But he said, do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God. What's the issue? Don't we know, have we not heard, that the Lord is the everlasting God? Oh, yeah, I do, and I do this, and I do this, and go that, and have a total meltdown every time something goes wrong. Or am I just talking about myself? I mean, that's, I love God, and I'll walk with God. I'll do anything God says, and if something goes wrong, oh, God, why did you do this to me? Are you even there? You know, it's inconsistent. And that's all he's saying here. This is all he's saying. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God. If he's an everlasting God, I'm going to ask him, when was his beginning? When was his end? It's everlasting. He just, there. I've been there longer than you have. See, the Lord is everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. There you go for the evolution people again. See, that thing undercuts the very deity and reality of God. It does in a belief system, a trust, and it goes into a trust system. Trust system. The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. Now look at this. He, you go through that. You say, I'm tired. Just tired. Have you ever? I mean, I said, I'm tired. He will not grow tired or weary. And his understanding no one can fathom. Now again, how does this verse start out? Remember, I don't want us to forget. We're going to soaring on eagle's wings. Why don't I? He's telling us why we don't. You know, why we don't. Because we don't know who he is. So the question starts out, did you not know? Did you not know he's everlasting? Did you not know he's the creator? Did you not know he doesn't get tired? Did you not know he has infinite understanding? Didn't you know? How would we know? How would the Bible? That's how we know. And he says, I'm telling you. I want you to know. Because I want this to happen. I want you to know. I want you to know. And he doesn't get tired. He's not weary. And we can't fathom his understanding. Can't fathom his understanding. Now, okay, so we got that. We got that. God's everlasting. He doesn't get tired. He doesn't get weary. He knows everything. Now, look what the next verse says. Now, we're getting there. Drum roll. We're getting there. Isaiah 40:29. He never gets tired. He never gets weary. He knows everything. Isaiah 40:29. And he gives strength to the weary, increases the power of the weak. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Here is God who never wearies, never tires. And we're like, way to go, God. High five, God. You know? He says, and I give it to you. Okay, now here's another trust factor. He created the heavens, called out the stars one by one, named them. He's an everlasting God, powerful God. He never gets tired. And he's going, I got it. He's okay. Now I give that to you. Now we got another level of trust. He is actually going to give it to us that we won't tired or get weary. And I'm thinking, oh man, If I just totally bought into verse 28, and I do, man, I crash and burn on verse 29. I'm so tired. I don't know what. It's driving me nuts. Lord, didn't you take care of this situation? Oh, God. See, I'm just tired. And which, what does that tell you? I'm receiving nothing. I'm receiving nothing. Okay? So what does that tell you about my faith? It's nothing. You know, I mean, I believe the Lord Jesus Christ paid the penalty for sins. I'm going to heaven. You know, yes, you know, as long as I don't die too soon. Don't push this up too quick. You know, I'm a little worried about, you know, this, you know. And so you're on the deathbed. Oh, God, I'm ready to go be with you. But, oh, God, not now. You know, why? Because it's like, I don't know if I trust that step that I'm not sure about. Now, I'm talking about myself. I'm not talking about y'all. I'd see next Sunday, nobody, you're not going to come back to church. He said, what's he in? Believe nothing. You know, it's a good grief. No. So, but what he does in verse 29, he gives strength to the weary. He's telling them, this is an absolute truth. When we just think we can't take one more step, he says, I give you strength. You know, if we don't have enough power to make that other step, he says, I give you power. He says, I give it to you. Because I'm the ones that called out the stars one by one and named them. I will give you power. That's what it says. And that's the reason we should have the Lord on the tips of our tongues when we get in difficult situations. Dear Lord, help me. Dear Lord, give me strength. Oh, dear Lord, get me through this. Because, okay, I will. I will. Do you believe me? Yes, I do. I believe you. So when we see this, that he gives us strength, which is great. But he gives strength to those who wait for him. Now, when we grasp what he's telling us, we can embrace peace and power of our faith. You see where this is going? See, this is our integral part in this scenario. God said, I've done all this stuff, but now you got to step into it for me to give it to you, to you partner with me through this. Just like he did Abraham, who is the picture in the New Testament of faith. When the Apostle Paul talks about faith, he always refers to Abraham. So it's what it is. Okay. You know, in you, I trust God. Now, are y'all ready for our scripture? Now, see, we just figured out Isaiah 40, 31. Okay, because there's a bit. Isaiah 40, 31 is an outstanding standalone scripture. But these verses I just shared built up to Isaiah 40, 31. He's telling us how to embrace Isaiah 40, 31. Now we'll have this, now we'll put it on the screen. Isaiah 40, 31. And let's read it based on what we understand. Those who hope in the Lord. Where are our eyes? Those who, it's right there, we're moving to the eagle wings. Those who hope in the Lord. But I don't know if the Lord can do that. I don't know if I trust. I don't know about the Lord. And I don't, but no hope in the Lord, you know. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Well, why? He said he's going to give us strength. He just said, I'm going to give it to you. You hope in new, hope in me, and I'll give you strength. Says you hope in the Lord, and he renews our strength, so we're getting stronger. Why? Focus on the Lord. We hoped in him. Now, okay, now here it is. It happened. They will soar on wings like eagles. That's how you get there. I just don't believe God did all this, and I don't believe he can do this, and I don't believe he's doing that, and I don't believe it, and I don't believe, you know, and our eagle doesn't get off the ground. You know, we find we're sitting on a turkey. Can't fly. But if we grasp this, and again, where are we grasping? We're grasping who God is and trusting him, and he gives our strength. And then those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength, and they will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. We will act and behave like God acted and behaved and have the strength of God himself. Now, I just want to wrap up and talk about these verses a little bit. Those who hope in the Lord. And again, all this is in context. Those who hope in the Lord have peace, rest, in quietness, trusting the Lord. And here's the peace, which is our strength. See, our strength is our rest and peace, trusting in the Lord, which is our strength. See? You should write this down. Hope is strength. Hope is strength. Those who hope in the Lord renew their strength. Hope is strength. Now the Bible, and maybe somebody can explain this to me someday, but when you read the Bible and it uses the word hope, and it's consistent how it uses hope. It's not like, man, I hope this is going to happen. I don't know if it will or not. I hope. The biblical word for hope, Old Testament, New Testament, has an element of expectancy. It's going to happen. In fact, in my mind, I retranslate the Bible when I read it, and I come across hope. I retranslate to say that expectancy. It just helps my head. I don't know. So the hope, if you expect, those who expectancy is in the Lord, they renew their strength. Because that hope means an expectancy that something's going to happen. It's expected. You go, I hope. I know it's going to happen. I know it's going to happen. See, it's an expectancy. So that's important. So that expectancy the Lord will do something is our strength. I was reading a thing, it's a terrible thing about like the suicide rate and stuff, and it's all these reasons, and you know, but and these are secular things. And they said one of the highest things when you see somebody's going to do that is they lose hope. They lose hope. See, and they're done. They lose hope. And so even here the Bible is saying the most important, our strength is hope. In what? God, we have hope. This is a wreck. But I have an expectancy that God's going to move, which is consistent with the whole Bible. So those have an expectancy in the Lord, and then they renew their strength. Why? Because they're resting in what the Lord's doing. And they're going to soar on eagle's wings. Now, so this means that we will have renewed strength and soar on wings like eagles on this. Now, here's something. I want you to, if you ever had the chance, if you've ever had the chance to watch an eagle, maybe National Geographic, or maybe you've been and watch, especially these big bald eagles, like the ones on the picture in the back and stuff, these eagles, it's fascinating to watch them, and they're so graceful when they fly. But something you'll notice about them that's fascinating, they never flap their wings. They don't flap their wings. They get up, and you'll see them set, and then they'll just dip. They fly down, and then they'll just go up, and then they'll do like a, you know, a circle and come down. And, they don't flap their wings. Now, taking off, they flap, and they good fishermen, man, they'll drop down and get a fish, and they'll come up and flap it. But you watch them flying, they don't flap their wings. It's the fastest. So we're soaring on the wings of the eagles, and it's a comfortable ride. They're not flapping those. They're not flapping their wings. And so what they do, we know now, I don't know if, you know, biblical times they knew everything. God knew what they were doing. But what they do, they fly with air currents. They go, they get the air currents. They just flow, and they'll catch those air currents and just let take them up. They'll go up, and then they'll work their wings, and they'll cut through the air current, and they'll catch it again. And, I mean, they'll do circles and go up and down. They just look like, you know, it's amazing. They're just, you know, free flying around, but they're not, they're gliding. They're free gliding around. They don't flap their wings because they know the air currents and stuff, and they use it to their advantage, and they figure it out. They figure they don't have to fly. They just let the wind carry them up, and they won't down. They just get a different angle, carries them down. So if you ever watch that, no, it's fascinating. It's fascinating. So these eagles are constantly gliding around. Therefore, what God is telling us, now this is what God, based, and it's the important, God used this image. Okay, he used it because he's telling us something because we didn't know all the facts, right? He's just using this image. But what he's telling us that when we put our hope, when we put our hope and our expectation in the Lord with every situation, we, like an eagle, are lifted above the problem or turmoil on the full current of the Spirit of God. Y'all, you see what I'm saying? It's like that eagle, he just, that current lifts him up. That believer, and in every situation, the eagle's going, and he's just up above it. Just up above it, down around it, and up above it. And he's, what he's saying about us is believers, that we're resting in the Lord, and the current that's coming up is the Holy Spirit, the breath of the Holy Spirit, the wind of the Holy Spirit, and we're just sailing above the turmoil, we're sailing above the problem, and we can just rest in that and glide like an eagle does. Our trust is our strength. Our trust is, but I don't trust this air current. I don't trust this air current. See, but no, just do it. I mean, I don't think that the, you know, these little eagles, and they had a little, you know, to be a grown eagle, you had to take a test and, you know, explain the air currents. They just did it, and they learned, and it lifted them up above all situations. And he's showing us, no, your issues, your problems, you'll be lifted above your issues by the current of the Holy Spirit. Amen? You see what I'm saying? Just like that eagle is. You're going to be lifted above that. But what about my problem that I'm being lifted? What about? Remember, I called the stars out one by one. I named them. Do you trust me? That's the issue. That's the reason we can't sail and be lifted up by the current of the Holy Spirit. It's because we don't know who God is. That's it. You know, we don't believe he's going to take care of it. In fact, we don't believe there's any current at all. We're going to sit there, and we're going to be out there, and we're going to do a nosedive, and we're out there, and we're going to flap our featherless wings like crazy. Just picture that, crashing, flapping our featherless wings, you know. It doesn't even look pretty, does it? You know, God said, Just be like the eagle. Just get on the eagle. Be like the eagle. Because do you think we really get on eagle's wings in this picture? No. He's telling us something so we can see, so that we can move like that eagle. And we're being lifted up all the time over the issue. Now, there's something else here. When we see this, now this is hard to believe, but if you take all this in context and what the Lord is saying, what he's telling us, by resting, and we see that coming in that wind blowing up and resting in the air current, and it's lifting us up to move around just as he sees fit, and we're not flapping our featherless wings. We're just like that, okay? So when the air currents, they just lift above it. They just lift, or around it, or whatever, without flapping. By resting on the wings of God, problems actually empower us. Think about it. Repeat it. It's worth writing down. By resting on the wings of God, problems are actually empowering us. Empowering us. See? Remember what he said before? Why are you complaining? What about Abraham? You know, he rose his knife. Oh my gosh, stop. Now I trust in you. And throughout the entire Bible, he is highlighted as a man of faith. Because the problem empowered him. It's life-changing. See? And the whole scripture of faith is built around him. See? Well, God, I could. How many times, Lord, I'd like to skip this problem? You know, skip. I mean, Abraham, I'd like to. Come on, let's just work that. You know, I've told you before, I don't know why he has to teach me so many things personally. I would much rather have a pamphlet. And I would study it and memorize it, you know, and do what it said. You know. But he just chooses to put me through the fire, you know. It's kind of sears it in your conscience. But so I just want you to think about that. So this verse is powerful. It is absolutely, unbelievably powerful. But just to think, our problems actually empower us, so that when we go through something, our thinking changes. Here's what, if this problem is empowering us and we're going to be lifted up by the Spirit of God to overcome this, then when a problem comes, we can say, this is to my benefit to empower me for something greater God has for me. And that's taught all through the scripture from Genesis to Revelations. This problem will strengthen me and make me stronger and have a deeper trust in God than I had before. There you go. And so God goes, why do you complain? So we should rejoice in it. I'm working on it. I thought, we rejoice. God, going through a situation, Lord, what do you have for me? Going through this and making me stronger in my faith, what do you ultimately have for me? And it's not like he's going to tell us, no, you just trust me and I'll take you there, which is another part of trust. You need to be obedient where you are and I'll take you to where you're supposed to be. Amen? Now, I want to tie this in. This is a trust we believe God is working. This is just like our salvation. This is just like our salvation. I'm going to wrap it up with this. Just like our salvation. We rest in quietness and trust that we are forgiven and have a home in heaven. Now, you know, it's like, oh, God, I hope I'm going to heaven. And I'm, no, the doctor says, I got 2 minutes. Oh, God. You know, I don't know if I, it's like, no. No, it's a trust and belief because what God told us, that we're forgiven, we have a home in heaven. All right. Oh, God, this is where you're taking me. You got something great for me, and you can die in peace, in peace. And I'm sure all of you, I went to a funeral yesterday. Have you gone to people, to a funeral where the majority of the people don't know the Lord? You been? I mean, it's awful. I mean, it's just devastating. You know, I mean, you talk about modern day weeping and wailing. You know, I mean, it's awful. It's awful, you know. And you go to most Christians' funerals, it's not like that. it's going to glory. There's almost a you're always sad to see someone go, and death is not natural, and you're always sad. But there's a sense, they're in glory. They're relieved of their pain. They're really, they're in glory now. You have a trust in it. And even talk to people that are dying, that are strong believers, looking forward to going to the presence of the Lord. Oh, I just can't wait to behold my Lord. I just can't wait to behold my Lord. There's no grief. There's no fret. See? But it's a trust that he called the stars out and he named them. He's the creator. He's the everlasting God. So all this, our salvation and the way we accept that and walk in that and are secure in that, he says, God has said, no, walk every day like that. On the wings of eagle. No, this is whatever's happening is pulling you up with power to show my strength. To show my strength. Amen? And this is why we'll close out with this. Jesus said in John 14:1. Jesus 14:1, do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. Don't let your heart be troubled. See? I mean, it's the same thing. And again, this is for our benefit. It doesn't take away the problems of the world. It gives us strength to persevere and deal with the problems of the world. Where God is the one who is in the midst of it and working his purposes, and we're cooperating with him and what he is doing. Amen? Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love. And that you're teaching every single one of us, every single day. And you care so much for us. You're intimately involved in our lives. And that you truly will be our teacher. You truly will speak to us. And you will give us insight in through everything we go through. And through everything, you're making us strong. Every past event, good or bad in our life, you're using it to build strength in us that we can have a greater faith in you and be able to encourage other people, to encourage other people to know who you are and to love you and that you love them. So, Lord, we thank you. And, Lord, we do, hallelujah, put our hope in you. And, Lord, we want to soar on the wings of eagles, Lord. We thank you for that picture. We give honor and glory to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.